Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, November 3rd, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. My Minnesota Vikings are playing in a few hours, so I'm recording this on a Sunday afternoon, and my Vikings are the primetime game tonight, so wish us luck, Skol Vikings. That said, no more football talk for the rest of the show. We're going to talk just pro wrestling. Yesterday we did have WWE Crown Jewel. If you want my thoughts on that show, tune into the Spotlight on Fightful. That is every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Myself and Jeremy Lambert will definitely talk about the big things that came out of the Crown Jewel PLE over on Peacock. Of course, I'm very happy that Cody Rhodes is the Crown Jewel champion, holding that gigantic title belt, got that ring on his finger. Cody, the man, my favorite. Y'all know how I feel about Cody for listening to this. And if you're a new listener, then now you know. Big Cody Rhodes fan here, but we're not here to talk about Cody Rhodes, we're here to talk about some independent professional wrestling. But, like I said, tune in to the Spotlight that is every Thursday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Fightful Overbooked. And we have interviews for y'all, we talk about a bunch of different topics throughout the world of wrestling, so please go check that out every Thursday morning. That said, we got a lot of wrestling to talk about right here today on the Weekender, so let's go to the topics and jump right into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for New South, the saga continues. GCW, two shows. We have Monster Bash and Hawaii Mania. IWC, Winner Takes All 2024. Glory Pro, Nightmare on Broadway. JCW, Lunacy Detroit. NXT Level Up, and I got some TNA Impact spoilers to wrap up the show. I'll make sure to put the timestamps in the description underneath, you know, where you're listening to this on Fightful Select. So if you want to remain spoiler-free, you can skip that, but it will be at the end of the show, so you can just turn the show off right there at the end if you want to avoid the spoilers. I'll make it easier for you all this week. So Impact spoilers at the end. And a bit of a different show this week as far as like some of these results. Normally I try to wait, you know, until all of these have actually aired so I can talk about them after that they've actually played out as far as, you know, the indie results. But some of the shows today I wanted to get out there because a lot of big results, but shows that haven't aired just yet. For example, New South, the saga continues. That show just happened last night. It's going to air soon on IWTV, but there's some really big things that happened on the show, so I really want to talk about it. Same with Glory Pro, The Nightmare on Broadway. That show happened last weekend, right around the time that I was recording The Weekender. I alluded to some big stuff that had happened on it and talked a little bit about some, but I have the full set of results today. It just hasn't aired yet for all of us to watch just yet. I'm assuming those will mostly be available on upcoming episodes of Glory Pro Ascend, which we normally cover right here on The Weekender as well. Also, JCW this week was different because they had a live show. Lunacy, JCW, by the way, Juggalo Championship Wrestling. I want to make the distinction here. We have Juggalo Championship Wrestling and Jersey Championship Wrestling. Two very different companies, but a lot of overlap there because there is the GCW tie-in because there's, you know, a GCW storyline with Juggalo Championship Wrestling ongoing right now as well that we're going to talk about today too. But my point is, JCW, Juggalo Championship Wrestling, normally has their Lunacy events that have been pre-taped months and months in advance over on the Psychopathic Records YouTube channel. This show, this Lunacy event, was live. So a lot to talk about there. A lot of great talent on that show. And, you know, some weird stuff too, as you would, you know, obviously expect when it comes to the Juggalos. Nothing but love here to me for the Juggalo community, by the way. I'm a longtime supporter of the ICP, and I wouldn't consider myself to be, you know, necessarily a Juggalo, but I'm definitely a Juggalo supporter, if that makes sense. I'm somebody who I very much appreciate the fact that those guys have had the career longevity they have in the wrestling world and, of course, in the music world. And they've been getting canceled since before the word canceled was even really like a thing. I mean, I remember back in the 90s, like the parents unions and stuff that you'd see on TV were talking about, you know, making sure that ICP wasn't allowed to be sold in the CD stores and all this kind of stuff. But they've just continued to survive in advance year after year after year, doing their thing kind of off in the corner, you know, doing their own thing. So I've always respected the Juggalos. And it's kind of cool to see that Lunacy has been putting together, you know, some interesting shows. Not always the best shows, you know, every week, you know, over on the Psychopathic Records YouTube channel. But this live show is actually pretty fun. So got a lot to talk about on the show, as I said. So mostly results, and then we'll get into some Impact spoilers, which also, unfortunately, you know, there's some big injuries that came out of the Impact spoilers too that we're going to talk about. So we're going to start off this week with results for New South Pro Wrestling, the saga continues. This was from last night, so on November the 2nd. I'm having to get used to saying November, not October. I'm kind of like catching myself almost saying October a bunch. So this was November the 2nd, and this will be available on independentwrestling.tv. It's not up yet, but the show was taped yesterday. And when it does air, please check it out and use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK, all is one word, no spaces. If you use that on IWTV, it lets them know that I've sent you their way. Appreciate when you use that code. As far as this show, it is New South Pro Wrestling's The Saga Continues. This is from Decatur, Alabama, in the Princeville Event Center. And I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. This man said he didn't need any recognition for getting the results over, but I'm going to give him his credit because he's a great guy that I've actually interviewed for the spotlight, you know, a while back. Carmen Childers, Carmen Michael, whatever you want to go by. Carmen, I just know him as Carmen. A jack of all trades, or really a master of a lot of these trades as well, across the independent scene. A guy who does a lot for New South, but a lot for a bunch of different independent promotions all over the place at this point. I hit up Carmen this morning and I said, hey man, looks like there was a great New South show last night. I don't see the results anywhere. Would you mind sending them over to me so I can talk about them on the weekend or today and put them up on the website? And within like 5 minutes, he sent me all these results that I'm about to give out to you guys. So please show Carmen some love. Like I said, he didn't want any, you know, recognition for helping me out with this, but I'm going to do it anyway because he's a good guy and I really appreciate it. And I think Fightful, I mean, it should be the first place that has these results. So another reason for y'all to continue to support Fightful, you know, I'm going to do what I can when I can to, you know, get you the results first. If I can get them before Cage Match does, I'll try to get them out to you guys before anyone else. So Carmen was able to get these results over to me. So they're being read via Fightful.com. Shout out to my homie, Jeremy Lambert, my co-host on the spotlight. He put up these results on the website for us, and they are as follows. We have a pre-show scramble match where Trevor Aeon defeats Jake Franklin, negatively Soraya Sabre, and Bubba Boz. It says after the match, Trevor is attacked by Samuel Handsome and The Wall Tyler Stevens, who issue an open challenge, and they're answered by the returning Kenzie Page and Kylie Alexa, who obviously we cover a lot when it comes to the NWA. No NWA results to talk about this week here on the show, but we'll probably get back to the NWA pretty soon. But nonetheless, Kylie Alexa and Kenzie Page defeat Samuel Handsome and The Wall Tyler Stevens. After that, some big news right here. Tyler Franks vacates the New South Heavyweight Championship due to injury and vows to recapture the championship when he returns to 100%. The Humongold is the name of the large, for those of you who might not know, the championship belt for New South is absolutely humongous. So the nickname of it is the Humongold. And this thing, we've talked to Cabana Man Dan about it. We've talked to plenty of people, you know, over the years for the spotlight rather, who work with New South that have explained that this title belt was a gigantic mistake to be like when they ordered this thing, they didn't expect it to be nearly this big, but it's become like a staple, and it's kind of reminiscent of what you're seeing with the Crown Jewel Championship now. The New South title is still larger, but the Crown Jewel Championship, you know, a lot of people talking about how humongous it is. It's still not as big as that New South title, but Tyler Franks vacates the championship. It was a bummer to see him have to, you know, vacate that title. He's a guy who has been working really hard for a long time. He was a tag team partner of Hunter Drake's back when I started watching both of these guys. They were called the Talladega Knights, and we're talking about Hunter here in just a second on this same show. Big news for him. But Tyler and Hunter, I'm always going to kind of remember from those days as the Talladega Knights, as these two kids that had just a ton of potential and were really just getting started, but got super over in the New South, like for that New South crowd. That team was like the top white meat babyface team, homegrown. And it was really cool because Hunter has previously been the New South Heavyweight Champion. And Tyler, it was kind of like when that group split, Hunter kind of went the way of, I'm not going to do like the Shawn Michaels genetic comparison because that is not what I'm getting at. But the reason I bring it up is because Hunter went towards the championship and like pretty much immediately became the top heel of the company and became the champion. And he had help from Braden Toon, and that whole story played itself out as well. And it took a little bit longer for Tyler to, like, re-rise the ranks as a singles wrestler, and then he made it all the way to the top, and he's been the champion for a little while now in New South. So it's unfortunate that he had to lose the title, but when he comes back, I have a pretty damn good idea what's going to be happening, and there's definitely a reason that I talk so much about the relationship between Hunter Drake and Tyler Franks just now. We're going to get to that in a second. So the next match we had was Jameson Shook over Rolando Perez, who also we see often as Rolando Freeman on NWA. He had Negative Lee in his corner, and Jameson Shook gets the win by referee stoppage. We then get Jameson Shook versus Negative Lee. After that, we had Sophia Sivan over Deity. The finish, I don't have the finish of this. I'm so used to saying the finish of this one is, I don't have the finish of a lot of these because, you know, they haven't aired yet, but I do have the results, obviously. After that, we had a dog collar match, which was Mad Dog Connolly over the Mongrel, who had Wendigo in their corner. We had Thunder Thighs Thunder Thighs along with Grease Monkey on the outside over Rodney Rockchild with Negative Lee in their corner. It says after the match, Negative Lee attacks Rodney Rockchild, who is saved by a returning Marcus Dillon. Next, we had the New South Tag Team titles on the line, the Dumpster Divers, a team of Dump Sanders and Cabana Man Dan, two guys who are, you know, if y'all know the backstage or kind of ins and outs a bit more of New South, Dump Sanders and Cabana Man Dan, two incredibly important people as far as like the operations for New South. These guys defeat TNT, the team of Brandon Williams and Rita Raccoon. Brandon Williams, another guy, the Locksmith, who, you know, he's been around for quite a while now as well, and he's a guy who's super, super talented, great in-ring wrestler. This was a no contest. So the Dumpster Divers and TNT go to a no contest. It ends when the Big City Bandits, the team of Big Ball Saul and Bobcat, interfere. And then the main event of the show, we got some big, big news here. So for the vacant New South Heavyweight Championship, we had a four-way match. Hunter Drake, who's just returned to New South, defeats Richard Holiday, Donnie Primetime, and Big Dave. Donnie Primetime, another guy who's very, very important as far as, like, you know, New South in general, has been for a long time. Hunter Drake, wins this championship to become the new New South champion once again. And once again, the reason I bring all this up between him and Tyler Franks is because you have this built-in feud ready to go when Tyler's ready to come back. I'm assuming Hunter will still be the New South champion, and you can have this big, you know, Talladega Nights feud for the world championship with Hunter Drake now carrying the championship that Tyler Franks never technically lost, that he had to vacate. So I'm really looking forward to that. I don't know how long Franks is going to be out for. I hope it isn't long. You know, obviously I hope he heals up and gets better and does what he needs to do. Everyone's personal health and mental health and everything is obviously much more important than, you know, wrestling at the end of the day. But as a fan of Tyler Franks, you know, it's a bummer that he had to vacate that championship because I know he worked really, really hard for a long time now to get to that spot. But I'm sure when he comes back, he'll be right there. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to a potential Hunter Drake versus Tyler Franks world championship feud in New South, if and when the time is right. So once again, thank you very much to Carmen for sending these results. That was New South Pro Wrestling's The Saga Continues, and it will be available soon on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, we got GCW Game Changer Wrestling. Got two sets of results for y'all today. Both shows are available on Triller TV Plus. First show we had was GCW Monster Bash. This show went down on Thursday, which was on Halloween, hence the Monster Bash theme. This was from National City, California in the Primal Compound, and these are the results. There was a lot of Halloween theme when it came to this as well. A lot of wrestlers, you know, cosplaying as other wrestlers and, you know, costumes and that kind of stuff. So the first match we had was Brooke Havoc, who cosplayed as Stone Cold Steve Austin, came out to Stone Cold's music and everything, defeats Viperess. The finish of this one was a stunner followed up by Crossroads, which Brooke Havoc uses because Cody Rhodes trained Brooke Havoc. So obviously as a Cody fan, I am pulling for Brooke, and I've got my eyes super close now on a lot of these people, you know, this whole WWE ID system or, you know, program, whatever you want to call it. That's something I talked about excuse me, quite a bit on the spotlight with Jeremy this past Thursday, but I've got a lot of thoughts on that, which I got mainly out on Thursday, so go check that out for my thoughts on the WWE ID. But obviously we need to keep our eyes a bit closer now on some of the talents that we know have been trained at some of these WWE ID approved schools. So Brooke Havoc's someone I would probably have my eyes on. I don't know anything on the inside. I'm just I look at people who have talent and look where they trained and put two and two together. And also, you know, it's worth mentioning, I'm seeing that the WWE ID X account has been putting up some teasers. One of them, and I don't know if it was, but one of them looked like potentially Charles Mason. And I think if it is, Charles Mason would be a great fit in the WWE system. He is great as far as, you know, character work. He's great in the ring. He's actually massively underrated in the ring, in my opinion, because he's so known for being creepy and being eerie and doing his gimmick and that kind of stuff. But his actual in-ring work is really, really damn good when he needs to, you know, use it, really. Now, I don't know if Charles Mason's heading the WWE ID, you know, program or whatever. Don't know if he has a deal with them. I'm just saying, based off of some pictures I saw on the X account, one of them looked like potentially the eyes of Charles Mason. Once again, putting two and two together, I'm like, this guy would make perfect sense. He's WWE ready already, you know? So, just putting it out there, WWE ID, I think it's an overall good thing. You know, I think there's some potential negatives to it, potentially, but I think the positives are going to massively, massively outweigh the negatives in the long run when it comes to this stuff, in the short term as well. So I said Brooke Havoc gets the win with a Crossroads 1-2-3 in the opener. After that, we had Dark Sheik over Broski Jimmy. The finish of this one was Sheik hitting a sliced bread on an open chair. Then Broski Jimmy kind of recovers, grabs a chair, and tries to swing it at Dark Sheik. Sheik moves, and Jimmy hits the chair off the top rope, and it bounces back into his head. The chair's kind of like dangling off of his head, and he lands on the ground, so Sheik hits the top rope, leg drop onto the chair, onto the face of Jimmy Lloyd, and gets the win. After that, we had Juicy Finau over Bobby Flacco. Speaking of Bobby Flacco, he was just on the spotlight this past Thursday. If you want to know more about him, check that interview out. He's a returning guest. He's been on the show twice now, and he's accomplished a lot, you know, since the first time he was on, most notably becoming the Action Wrestling World Champion recently. The finish of this one was Juicy catching Bobby Flacco, going for, I call it the Cody Cutter. He calls it the RKAO, but basically goes for the top rope Cody Cutter. And Juicy catches him midair, puts him in the up top on his shoulder, hits a Rikishi driver, 1-2-3. I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again. You know, everyone's got their eyes on Zilla Fatu right now as far as, you know, being a potential member of the WWE soon, and or at some point in the future. He's even said it himself. It's just a matter of time before he's there. Everyone knows he's destined to go there and be a part of this bloodline at some point. But Juicy is somebody who's linked to those guys, you know, teamed with Jacob Fatu a lot on the indies before Jacob, you know, went off to the WWE, and Juicy uses the Rikishi driver. He's a big dude. He gives massive Rikishi vibes / Yokozuna vibes, and he really could be a perfect fit for that group, too. I've been saying that for a long time now, but, you know, Juicy Finau, another person to keep your eye on, potentially. You know, he's also, he's drastically improved over the years, too. I remember a few years ago when wrestlers would, like, get frustrated with him, and, like, you could tell in the ring that they were, one guy that I won't name, and it probably isn't a good example, actually, in hindsight. I hadn't really thought about this, but there was somebody I remember getting visibly upset with him in a match. But he's a guy who's been actually, like, rightfully canceled years back, and I won't give that any more attention. But that said, Juicy has massively, massively improved over the years. And I think he's pretty damn good nowadays, and, you know, just keep your eyes on him, you know what I mean? After that, we had Effie over Rob Shit. The finish of this one was Effie. He bites his fingers, like Rob Shit's got his fingers in his mouth, and Effie bites down and then follows up with a sack rider for the 1-2-3. Up next, we had Gringo Loco over Ray Horace. The finish here was Gringo hitting a top rope Spanish fly, and then Ray Horace tries to hit a around the world DDT, but Gringo Loco catches him and basically drops down with his version of a Rikishi driver for the three count. After the match, they show each other respect as they're two of the best luchadors out there right now. Up next, we have the JCW. This is the Jersey Championship Wrestling title on the line. Masha Slamovic defeats Zara Zacher. The finish of this one was Masha does like a corner suplex, not a superplex, but like suplexes her into the turnbuckles, and then follows up with a Shining Wizard. Zacher kicks out at two, and then Slamovic locks in a rear naked choke and forces the tap out to retain the championship. Up next, we had Speedball Mike Bailey over Super Crazy. The finish of this one, by the way, yes, the Super Crazy, same guy from ECW, still doing it pretty damn well. Still looks pretty much the same as he did, you know, all those years ago. Speedball defeats Super Crazy. The finish of this one was Super Crazy going for a second rope moonsault, and Speedball moves out of the way, follows up with a La Mastral cradle, and pins Super Crazy for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a scramble match where CJ Tino defeats Ariel Van Gogh, Antonio Rivers, Boa Silvia, El Primojano, J2 Mattioli. I'm so bad with some of these names, I apologize. J2 Mattioli and Robin Shaw. The finish of this, I'm going to do my best to explain. At one point, by the way, Ariel Van Gogh hits this splash where he literally is hanging from the top of the ceiling of the building and hits a splash. Really impressive. He's really good at, like, holding himself and basically doing, like, I guess you can't call him handstands, but he'll do stuff where he'll hold his whole body sideways on, like, poles and stuff. Like, his core strength is unreal. But really cool spot of the match there for Ariel Van Gogh, you know, a splash off the ceiling, hanging from the ceiling. The finish was a Saito suplex by CJ Tino onto Robin Shaw for the 1-2-3. And the main event of the show, we had Ciclope over Arez. The finish here was a spear through a door in the corner, followed up by a top rope frog splash, and Ciclope wins the main event as he continues his feud with Mato Extremo and his aspirations of one day becoming the GCW World Champion. Moving on, some more GCW results. We got Hawaii Mania. This show happened yesterday at the time of this recording, and this was a late-night show. I'm going to do my best, basically off of memory, because I watched the show live last night, but it started at 11 p.m. Eastern time and ended at, like, I want to say around, like, 1:30 or something. It was very... And then I sort of definitely lost track of time, because at 2 a.m., the clocks all reset automatically to 1 a.m., so this was a late night, that extra hour. But I will do my best based on memory, because, you know, full disclosure, normally when I'm watching these shows, I sit there and I take some notes so that I can just, so I watched it, now I can talk about it, I'm good to go. With that show, it was just so late, I was like, I'm not taking notes, I'm not setting my computer up. I was like, I felt like I was going to fall asleep before the show even started, but I wound up powering through. But that said, I'm going to go off the dome to the best of my ability. This was from Honolulu, Hawaii, from the Hawaii Convention Center. Also available on Triller TV Plus, and these are the results for Hawaii Mania. Show started off with Jamie Senegal over Gina Rivera. The finish of this one was Senegal kissing Rivera and then hitting a... I always preface it. I call it the Black Mass, Aleister Black's, you know, spinning heel kick, whatever you want to call it. Y'all know the move I'm talking about. Senegal hits that for the three count. After that, we had the Ratty Daddy Cole Radrick defeat Broski Jimmy. Cole gets the win after hitting a Little Sebastian's Curse onto a steel chair for the 1-2-3. And of course, Cole Radrick is still the holder of the GCW brass ring, which grants him a title shot of his choosing at any time that he wants. After that, we had Gringo Loco over Arez. The finish of this one was a base bomb for the 1-2-3. And obviously, we've seen these guys wrestle each other a ton, team with each other a ton, two of the best, you know, similar to Bray Horace. I mean, another one of just the best guys out there right now in the lucha scene. After that, we had Danhausen over Officer Colt Cabana, and this is Colt Cabana's basically his alter ego that he uses in Juggalo Championship Wrestling. This match was used to kind of further the Juggalo Championship Wrestling versus Game Changer Wrestling feud going on right now. The finish of this one was Danhausen, you know, grabbing a bunch of his teeth that he brings to the ring, puts them in Cabana's mouth, hits a pump kick, and then pins him for the three count. After that, we had Joey Janela versus Rain, which ended in a no contest. basically what winds up happening is Giant Leather and Corey Oliver come out and attack to cause a no contest, but then Janela and Rain challenge the two of them to a tag team match right there on the spot. Rain, of course, was, I can't remember what her name was in TNA, but she was a member of TNA. She's been around for a long time. Rain's been around for like 20 years. And Dave Prazak, I think, even mentioned on commentary that he had managed her. I mean, I remember her from Shimmer. I mean, obviously Prazak, Shimmer, that makes sense with that connection. But that said, you know, really cool. You know, a lot of people online were marking out pretty hard. They were like, damn, Rain and GCW, let's go, you know. And it was cool because Joe Janela, after the match, the tag team match, Janela gave her a lot of props and credit as well. As somebody who could wrestle people of all genders back before, you know, that was really a way more normalized thing as it is now. As far as the match itself, the finish was Janela hitting Oliver with a apron, a Death Valley driver, you know, outside of the ring. And then inside the ring, Rain hits a spear through a door in the corner onto Giant Leather. And then both Janela and Rain pin Leather for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Effie over Speedball Mike Bailey. The finish of this one was Effie kissing Mike Bailey, and Speedball winds up really liking it. Like, he gets into the kiss and gets, like, lost in it, basically, which allows Effie to then hit a Sack Rider for the 3 count. And they're furthering along the Alley Catch feud throughout these shows, too, which is worth mentioning right now, because on commentary for the next match, we had Effie on commentary for Alley Catch versus Dark Sheik. They've been talking a lot about how Dark Sheik won't choose sides between Alley Catch and Effie, because Sheik is in the middle of those two as a friend of both of theirs for a long time. Effie, after the match with Speedball, talks about how he's basically looking for Alley Catch, and, you know, they need to settle their score for what's been going on with, you know, the end of Bussy and the way that Alley Catch turned on Effie during War Games with the exploding barbed wire bat. So that all kind of paints the picture, lays out the scene for Alley Catch versus Dark Sheik with Effie on commentary. Alley Catch winds up winning the match after 3 pussy pile drivers, and Effie carries Dark Sheik out afterwards. After that, we had Megan Bain over Sam Stackhouse. The Megasys gets the win after hitting a spear for the 1-2-3. After the match, Stackhouse raises Bain's arm up, you know, to kind of celebrate with her and show her some respect. Up next, we have the GCW World title on the line. Mance Warner defends and retains over Himana. The finish of this one was Himana missing a top rope splash, and then Mance Warner following up with a running knee to the head and then an implant DDT for the 1-2-3 to retain the title. After that, we had an 8-person tag team match where Too Tough Tony, Ariel Van Gogh, Caleb Conley, and Matt Cross defeat Bobby Flacco, Jake Lander, Jeffrey John, and King Atapa. The finish of this one... Well, the finish of this one was Too Tough Tony's bare fist flaming punch to Lander, which, you know, is exactly how it sounds. Literally lit his bare fist on fire. Usually when I see him do that move, he'll, like, have his hand taped up and I'll do it. But this was a bare fist flaming punch, which I thought was pretty badass. So Too Tough Tony gets the win, hitting Jake Lander with that and pinning him. But I wanted to also mention that during the match, Lander had a really nice, you know, impressive show of strength when he put both... Ariel Van Gogh and Caleb Conley, I believe, on his shoulders at the same time and, like, walked around the ring with both of them. So, massive shout-out to Jake Lander. I remember that guy years ago coming through Nashville to sup shows and stuff like that. And I want to say sup shows. I'm pretty sure I saw him at Glory Pro back then, too. He's a guy who's been around for quite a while, always been very talented and flown under the radar. So, shout-out to Jake Lander. Even though the team lost, you know, I thought there was a lot of really impressive stuff from people on both sides of this one, but I am a sucker for the Too Tough Tony flaming punch. Like, I mark out for it every time because he's one of these guys who, like, so often does stuff like that not work. And even on this one, he had to try the big flame a few times before it lit. But, you know, the way that he hits it is probably the most believable I've ever seen somebody use fire on a regular basis, if I'm being honest. Like, you know, we've seen so many duds. We saw the dud with Cruel in MLW against against Kojima at MLW recently at Center Stage. That was a really recent example of it. We've seen, you know, the famous Hulk Hogan trying to throw that dud of a fireball at Ultimate Warrior, you know, in WCW back in the day. But Too Tough Tony always lights his hand on fire long enough that you see that visual of his hand on fire, a legit flaming punch, and then it stays on fire, and the way he's able to hit that punch, like, I mark out for it every time, I'm not gonna lie, I legitimately do. And that's the kind of move anyone could understand. Like, even if you're not a wrestling fan at all, and you saw somebody do that, you'd be like, damn, that's pretty badass, you know what I mean? And of course, Too Tough Tony represents for Juggalo Championship Wrestling. In the main event of the show, we had the Pineapple King, Aleki Offee, defeating Matt Cardona. There was a lot of people on the show, by the way, if you couldn't tell, that were not regular GCW participants or competitors, but were getting some shine on this show because it was in Hawaii, so they were able to use some people that they normally don't have access to. So very cool stuff, including, of course, Offee here. Offee defeats Cardona. The finish of this one, the best way I can describe it is the referee goes down, and there's a bunch of shenanigans on, you know, both sides. It ultimately comes down to the referee still being down when Cardona grabs the internet title and he tries to hit Offee with it, but he moves out of the way. So Cardona hits Broski Jimmy in the head with his internet championship belt. And then Offee finishes with what I just wrote down as I remember as it was like a pump handle suplex. So distinct pump handle slam into kind of more of like a vertical suplex almost with the release for the 1-2-3. So really big win for Offee in Hawaii over Matt Cardona. Once again, that was GCW Hawaii Mania, available on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, we got more Triller TV Plus results. This is IWC Winner Takes All 2024. This is from Elizabeth, Pennsylvania, and this was from Marx's Court Theater. And IWC, of course, is International Wrestling Cartel. These are the results. Show started off with Zach Nystrom over Cristiano Argento. The finish of this one was Argento coming off the second rope with a crossbody attempt, gets caught midair by Nystrom, and he hits a jackhammer for the 1-2-3. Nystrom beat Juventud Guerrera last month with the same jackhammer, so big streak kind of going right now for Zach Nystrom in IWC. After that, we had a IWC women's title match. This was for a vacant championship. Mila Moore defeats Lexus Sin. This match was like 30 seconds long. I think the ref was supposed to get bumped or be distracted or something, because the referee looks right at what happens, which was Mila doing a thumb to the eye of Lexus and then following up with, I wrote down soul food, whatever you want to call the move, soul food, eat defeat. Y'all know what move I'm talking about. Chuck Taylor did it forever. Enzo Amore did it. I've seen a lot of people do this move, soul food for the 1-2-3. And Mila Moore, you know, is the new champion, and like I said, that was like a 30-second squash match. But like I said, I think it was supposed to be meant to be a distraction, or the referee was supposed to get hit by something, or something was off about it, because the thumb to the eye literally happens as the ref is looking, and everyone just kind of seemed confused. After that, we had a triple threat tag team match where Point Break, the team of Tyler Brooks and Johnny Mahalo, defeat Andrew Palace and Cannon Christopher, who had Justin Plummer in their corner, and the team of Matthew Yeager and Felix Cause. The finish of this one, do my best to explain this. So, so the team of, I think it was, Palace and Christopher, they hit a heart attack, but right before the move could get executed, Tyler Brooks blind tagged in. So Palace and Christopher hit the heart attack, but they're not the legal men when they go for the cover. So it gets like pulled apart, a little bit of chaos, and Brooks, who had made the tag, slides in and makes the pin as all that's kind of happening. I know it's a little difficult to explain that finish there, but that's the best I could do. After that, we had the IWC World Heavyweight title on the line. Bill Coyer defeats Spencer Slade, along with Justin Plummer in their corner, to defend and retain the championship. The finish here was, once again, I'll do my best to explain. So Justin Plummer's on the outside. He's holding the heavyweight title belt in his hand on the ring apron, and he's trying to use it to help Spencer Slade. Slade, by the way, is somebody we see occasionally in the NWA as well. Collier throws, like, he, like, reverses the throw and throws Slade into Plummer, who's holding the title, so the title clashes heads into Spencer Slade. So an inadvertent belt shot, basically, by Plummer to Slade from the outside, and then a schoolboy roll-up by Collier pins Slade to retain the championship. After that, we have the IWC high-stakes title on the line. Sam Handyman defends and retains over Marcus D'Angelo. The finish here, there were some weapons during this one. So the finish here, D'Angelo has a toilet seat wrapped around his neck because he's been hit with it. And he, as he's like removing it from his head, Sam hits the Handyman Hammer, which is kind of like a running spinning Hadouken, double fist. We used to call it like a fishtail back when you used to play like Foursquare back in the day, kind of like a fishtail. Not quite like the Hadouken that Dante Chen does, the gentle touch on NXT Level Up that we always talk about. But, yeah, kind of like a running fishtail with a spin at the end by Handyman. The Handyman Handyman Hammer for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Bulk Nasty over Dennis Gregory. Bulk Nasty gets the win with a power slam for the 3 count. After that, we had the IWC Super Indie title on the line. Sam Holloway, a.k.a. Hardway Holloway, who we saw win the Super Indie Championship tournament just a few weeks ago and covered it right here on the Weekender. Talked about it on the Spotlight as well. Sam Holloway defends and retains over Gannon Jones Jr. The finish of this one was Gannon going for a fireman's carry, and his leg goes out because it had been getting worked during the match. Holloway takes advantage and hits a powerbomb, grabs Gannon's leg to, like, kind of roll him back right into a sit-out chokeslam for the 1-2-3 for the for Sam Holloway to retain the championship. After that, we had the IWC World Heavyweight Title number one contender match, where Duke Davis defeated Elijah Dean. The finish here was Duke is going for the landslide, but Dean accidentally kicks the ref and then gets hit with the landslide. Plummer is on the ring apron on the entrance ramp, rather. He's on the entrance ramp and he's distracting. So Duke Davis then hits a Baldo bomb, like the sit-out double choke slam. And when he's pinning him, Plummer gets into the ring, removes his shirt, and he has a referee shirt underneath, and he counts the three himself. So Duke Davis gets the win over Elijah Dean with help from Justin Plummer. And the main event of the show, we had the IWC Tag Team titles on the line. Derek Dillinger and Wes Barkley defeat Channing Decker and Tommy Dreamer to become the new Tag Team champions. The finish here was Sam Holloway, who we were just talking about, runs out and interferes at the end of the match, hits a sit-out choke slam onto Decker, and then Dillinger, who is pretty much out in the ring, he just rolls over, gets one arm over the chest of Decker, and then, you know, gets the pin for the team. So Sam Holloway aligned with Wes Barkley and Derek Dillinger. Holloway, of course, the Super Indie champion, and Dillinger and Barkley now the tag team champions. And, you know, pretty cool to see both these guys, Dillinger and Wes Barkley. I've been covering for a very long time both of these guys. I was a fan of these guys before I really talked much about indie wrestling, even, you know, years ago. Wes Barkley and Derek Dillinger, both guys for Absolute Intense Wrestling, been there a long time. Barkley was for a very long time associated with Joshua Bishop, who's, you know, one of my favorite wrestlers in the world. And Dillinger, I remember back when he was a part of the production, the tag team. I mean, so it's been a long time. You know, both these guys have worked, you know, against each other and with each other in different companies and stuff. So it's cool to see Dillinger and Barkley as the new IWC tag champions. And I'm very interested to see where things go between the two of them and Holloway as a stable in IWC. So once again, that is Winner Takes All 2024, available on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got some results for Glory Pro Wrestling. This is Nightmare on Broadway. This show has not aired yet, but it took place on October 27th, and I talked about it on the Weekender last week, how I had seen some of the results literally as I was recording the show last week, including some big news that we're going to talk about right here. But my guess, as I said at the top of the show, my guess is that this stuff will all air on upcoming episodes of Glory Pro Ascend, which is available for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. But that said, got the results right now. Glory Pro, Nightmare on Broadway. And this was, by the way, it was from South Broadway Athletic Club in St. Louis, Missouri. These are the results. We got Sean Logan over Cordell Kane. Ethan Price over Cole Radrick, Mean J. Lee, and Shane Boscher, or Boscher. We have the new guys, the team of Jake Bosch and Scott Stanley, over the team of Jay Marston and Solomon Tupu. Tootie Lynn over Heather Monroe. The A1 Zero Gravity Championship on the line. Cody Lane defends and retains over Stallion Rogers, the former Kurt Stallion. After this is where a lot of the big news comes from that I talked a little bit about last week. So after the match between Cody Lane and Stallion Rogers, Cody gets on the microphone and basically puts out an open challenge for the Zero Gravity Championship. Sean Logan is out in the ring, looks like he's going to accept the challenge, and Ricky Starks comes out of nowhere. Yes, that Ricky Starks, absolute Ricky Starks from AEW. He comes out and he spears Sean Logan and then challenges Cody Lane for a shot at that A1 Zero Gravity Championship. So pretty huge news there, because Ricky Starks is somebody very, what's the right word? Very mysterious in a lot of ways, right? You know, it's like nobody really knows why he isn't being used on AEW, but at the same time, the assumption is that it's because he's going to the WWE when he's able to, and don't know if that's true or not. You know, just there's a lot of reasons why he'd probably want to go to the WWE. He's got, you know, a lot of really good friends there. Guys like Cody Rhodes, obviously. You know, he's a very talented guy. He's a WWE fan for life. You know, I remember him doing shoot interviews before AEW ever even existed, and I know he's like a massive Undertaker mark. You know, but it's strange because AEW just seemingly just stopped using him completely pretty much after the tag team championship run with him and Big Bill, from what I remember. I can't remember him doing a whole lot after that. And Ricky's a guy who got some pretty big pushes throughout his AEW run, and you know, don't even know for sure if his AEW run is even over. It's just, we're seeing him pop up on some indie shows now, like Glory Pro, which is very interesting. And AEW still hasn't been using him. So, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, in the future going forward for absolute Ricky Starks. But one thing that we do know is that he will be challenging Cody Lane for that Zero Gravity Championship in the very near future for Glory Pro. So, big get for Glory Pro as well that, you know, Ricky Starks is going to create a lot of buzz, because there's, like I said, so many people who are wondering what's going on with him. Why is he not on AEW TV? Is he going to WWE? What's he doing? Is he good to go? Like, what's going on with Ricky? And we got some answers. It looks like he's definitely good to go, and Glory Pro's got him. After that, we got Raheem De La Suede over the Deliverer Moses. The United Glory Tag Team titles on the line, the Philly Marino Experience, the team of Marino T and Philly C, defend and retain their championships over the Lycos Gym of Kid Lycos and Kid Lycos 2. We have the Crown of Glory Championship on the line in a street fight. Jake Parnell defends and retains over Dan the Dad. And the main event of the show, we have the Glory Pro Women's World Crown Championship Tournament Final. So this, you know, this tournament's been going on for quite a while. We've been covering it week by week for Ascend. It was a submission match. Lainey Luck defeats Shaza McKenzie to become the champion and win the tournament. So congratulations to Lainey Luck. And yeah, looks like a great show. I'm really looking forward to seeing all of this when it's available to watch. And like I said, I don't know for sure where it'll be, when it'll be, but I'm guessing we'll be covering this kind of week by week over on Glory Pro Ascend. So you may hear me double up on some of these results over the weeks, but you know, I wanted to get those out there because some huge results there. You know, we got some big title matches. We got Ricky Starks showing up. We have the end of the women's tournament. You know, there it is, Glory Pro doing big things. And the only nitpick I can even have about that is, and I would say this about any company, it's not a Glory Pro thing, it's an any company thing. The only nitpick I've got is I wish we could have watched it live. I wish we could watch it right now. But like I said, I'm sure we'll be able to watch it all soon enough. Something that you can watch right now, though, is Juggalo Championship Wrestling. We have JCW Lunacy Detroit. This is from Detroit, Michigan, and it's available completely for free on the Psychopathic Records YouTube channel. Show took place on October 31st, and it was live. And these are the results. Show starts off with the Neon Blondes, the team of Danny Moe and Facade, over Brer Wellington and Jeeves. The finish here was Facade doing a powerbomb while Danny Moe does a rope walk crossbody. So it's a double team crossbody powerbomb by Facade and Danny Moe to get the win for the Neon Blondes. After that, we had Luigi Primo over Joey Janela. The finish here was Primo, who, if y'all don't know, this is the guy who's been viral, you know, over the years for doing the pizza gimmick where he's like constantly, you know, flopping around the dough and throwing it in the air and doing tricks with, you know, the dough or whatever while he's wrestling. A very divisive wrestler, to say the least. You either love him or hate him. But we had Luigi Primo over Joey Janela. This is also furthering the feud between GCW and JCW. Joey Janela, of course, representing Game Changer Wrestling. The finish here was Primo throwing some dough at Janela, and then he hits a rolling neck breaker, and then basically his version of a twist of fate, which I think he's called like the slice or something like that, for the 1-2-3. So Primo over Janela. After that, we have the JCW American title on the line in a four-way match. Caleb Conley defends and retains over Alex Taylor, Simon Gotch, and Tarzan Duran. The finish here was basically Simon Gotch goes for like a rear naked choke on Conley, and Conley does the Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, you know, up and over, you know, uses the corner turnbuckle to flip backwards into the pin for the three count. After that, we had Mickey Knuckles over Mikey Knuckles, a.k.a. Mosh Pit Mike. The finish here was Mickey giving Mikey a wedgie and then doing a German suplex with a bridge for the three count. Well, actually, it might have been a bridge. I honestly can't remember if there was a bridge or not. I definitely remember the wedgie, and I definitely remember the German suplex for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a triple threat where Kerry Morton defeats Kongo Kong and Co-Kane. Yes, that is Co-Kane. This is a wrestler who, like many Kane spinoffs that we've seen in the world of wrestling, this is a all-white Kane, you know, and he is called Co-Kane. So y'all can put that together and get what that's all about. You know, kind of figure you'd see this guy in the NWA, maybe. So the way that this one goes down, we had Kerry Morton hitting Co-Kane with a jumping knee to the head, follows up with his final cut, which I always forget what he calls it, but I always call it the final cut because that's what I remember, like the Big Show and like the Hurricane using, you know, back in the day, kind of like that that reverse DDT, that Scorpion Death drop, but you swing into that, you know, standing elbow drop for the 1-2-3. If you're listening to this show, I'm sure you know what that move is. After that, we had a six-person tag team match where Baba Thunder and the Backseat Boys team of Tommy Grayson and JP Grayson defeat the team of Painful Paul and the Altar Boys. The Altar Boys are August Matthews and Davey Bang, a.k.a. the former Bang Bros. The finish here was Baba Thunder hitting a double choke slam onto both Davey Bang and August Matthews and pinning both of them at the same time for the three count. After that, we had a no contest between James Storm and Silas Mason. The finish here was James Storm loading up a super kick, but before he can do it, Kerry Morton and Alex Taylor, who are also members, of course, of the Southern Six. We always see the Southern Six on NWA television. Southern Six, as a matter of fact, won the Crockett Cup this year. And Silas Mason, you also might know as the Thrill Billy. Nonetheless, we had James Storm getting attacked by the whole Southern Six. All the members of the Southern Six that were present at the show, I should say. And that causes the no contest, even though technically speaking, James Storm should have won by disqualification, but it's Juggalo Championship Wrestling. We're not going to nitpick on that. When it comes to the NWA, I nitpick it, but when it comes to Juggalo, you know, it is what it is. Whoop, whoop. And the main event of the show we had was a tag team match. It is Matt Cross and Willie Mack defeating Jesus Rodriguez and Mecha Wolf. The finish here was Matt Cross hitting the cross cutter, which is his version of like a rebound where he does like the rebound with his shoulders on the top rope. Very hard to explain, but if you know, you know. But we'll say the cross cutter onto Rodriguez, followed up by Willie Mack going up top, hitting the low down, you know, the D'Lo Brown style between the legs, frog splash, 1-2-3. Matt Cross and Willie Mack win the main event. Once again, that is Juggalo Championship Wrestling, Lunacy, available completely for free on the Psychopathic Records YouTube channel. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on November 1st. It's available on the WWE Network. We had just two matches this week, and honestly, not a lot to talk about when it comes to Level Up this week. So, the opening match we got here is Lainey Reid over Carly Bright. The finish here was Lainey hitting her version of a neck breaker for the three count. And the only other match we had on the show was Oro Mensa over Nico Vance. The finish of this one was a spinning heel kick by Mensa for the 1-2-3. Good showing by Nico Vance, though, throughout this one. A good showing by all four of the people, you know, on the show. But, you know, solid episode of Level Up. Just two matches. And I'm really hoping that they kind of get back on track with, you know, the three matches and more segments and stuff like that. But I know that they're kind of trying to find their footing. They're in this weird period right now where, like, they're not... To my knowledge, I don't think that they're on CW yet, at least. And I don't think they're on Hulu anymore. And Peacock is, like, episodes behind. But if you have access to the network, you can still watch it. It's kind of a mess at the moment. But, you know, obviously I'm a supporter of Level Up, and I want these talents to all succeed. You know, it's also interesting when it comes to the main event, because Oro Mensa is a part of the Metaphor, and Lash Legend Dakara Jackson, you know, have been a part of the main roster lately. So, you know, maybe some bigger things in the future soon for Oro Mensa. We'll see. But nonetheless, that was Level Up this week. Not a whole lot to talk about, but as I said, once they kind of get back to what I feel like is back to normal, we'll have a lot more to talk about. But that is that for Level Up this week. And the last thing we got here, last topic, is TNA Impact spoilers. So, spoiler alert. I'm going to put some timestamps in here right now so I don't forget. But it is the last thing I'm going to cover today. So, if you want to dip out right now to avoid Impact spoilers, I appreciate y'all listening to the show. Please just hit the thumbs up here before you leave on FightfulSelect.com. But for those of you who want the TNA spoilers for upcoming episodes of Impact, I got them for you right now, along with some unfortunate injury news. So spoiler 3-2-1, here they are. We got TNA Wrestling spoilers. These were from October 27th from Detroit, Michigan. These are courtesy of PW Insider. I'm reading them via Fightful.com. Some of these things have aired. For instance, I think an entire episode of Impact has aired that had some of these, so I'll probably skip over that and just focus on the injuries when it comes to that, but then we'll talk some spoilers. So, as far as Explosion, we have Leon Slater over Rohit Raju. It was cool seeing Rohit Raju back in TNA during Bound for Glory as well, for what it's worth. I've been a longtime fan of him as Hakeem Zayn. We had Xia Brookside over Misa Kate, Laredo Kid over Silas Young, and Jake Something and Hammerstone over Bhupinder Gujar and Jack Price. The main thing coming out of the spoilers for Impact's episode that was taped for the 31st, which was Halloween, which has already aired now, so I'm not going to give you the full set of results for that, but there was a match between El Hijo del Vikingo and Trent Seven, and Vikingo was injured during that match, so, you know, thoughts are obviously out to Vikingo. Real bummer, too, because, I mean, he was out with injury for a long time. It felt like he was really all over the wrestling world. You know, he was killing it in Triple A, whatever you want to call it, over, you know, in Mexico. He was killing it as their mega champion. He was showing up in all these other companies. He was making big appearances in AEW, Ring of Honor, all over the indie world, GCW. You know, Vikingo was ranked in the top, like, 15 or the top 10 of the PWI, not this year, but the year previous. So, you know, a lot of momentum before the injury. He comes back, has some banger matches, including the match they did with Speedball Mike Bailey at Bound for Glory. I thought was fantastic. I love that match. But now back on the sidelines, so, you know, you hate to see it, you know, so I hope nothing but a speedy recovery and health for Vikingo going forward. And that's not the only injury, unfortunately, when it came to these shows, but I do have the rest of the spoilers here, and then we'll talk about that. So we have Impact spoilers for the 7th of November. This is Moose over Speedball Mike Bailey. Moose wins the X Division Championship by doing that, and Trent Seven turns on Speedball Bailey after the match. Moose winning the X Division Championship is very strange, but I also feel like based on... So during Bound for Glory, they accidentally ran a graphic that showed Vikingo as the new X Division champion. So I'm thinking maybe Vikingo and Speedball were going to run it back, and Vikingo was going to beat Bayley for the title, but then they just pivoted to Moose since Vikingo got hurt. I could be totally wrong about all that, but I'm almost positive this was for the title. But this is a spoiler, of course, so I don't know. But I'm almost positive Moose won the title in this match because I had seen some other stuff posted about this on like social media. And once again, it leads me to believe Vikingo maybe was going to win. But then that drives me to ask, why didn't they do it at Bound for Glory if Vikingo was going to win? But, you know, personally speaking, I have no problem with Speedball retaining the championship on Bound for Glory because that match was awesome. I'm a big Speedball fan. I'd be happy with him being the X Division champion going forward. But if it is Moose going forward, that is a very interesting move, to say the least. After that, we had an ODQ match where Rosemary defeats Windy Chu. Jody Threat defeats Heather Reckless. Joe Hendry cuts a promo on Ryan Nemeth. Masha Slamovich and Jordan Grace defeat Alicia Edwards and Tasha Steeles. I don't know if this is Jordan's exit from TNA, but it sounds like she's going to be wrapping up soon, and I would guess heading to WWE full-time. But obviously, I'm very happy that Masha Slamovich is the new Knockouts champion. I'm a huge fan of hers. And speaking of new champions, we had the Hardys, Matt and Jeff Hardy, defeat ABC, the team of Ace Austin and Chris Bay, in what looks like the last match of these tapings. The Hardys winning the titles at the end of Bound for Glory. I loved that match. I thought it was great. Basically, Monsters Ball, TLC, Full Metal Mayhem, whatever you want to call that match. It was a blast. I really, really enjoyed it. And part of why I enjoyed it so much was the times where it was ABC versus the Hardys in there, and the system added a lot to the match too. This is no shade on the system, but there was a lot of really cool moments between ABC and the Hardys during that match as well, that were really, really good. A lot of really cool spots, a lot of innovation. Ace Austin and Chris Bay are, you know, two of the most talented young performers, I think, in the wrestling world, and especially for guys that have, you know, been involved with Impact / TNA as long as they have. And, you know, unfortunately, during this match, Chris Bay was injured, and he was stretchered out, and he had a neck injury, has a neck injury still, you know, technically, and he is recovering right now, got surgery. But, you know, the wrestling world has all come together in support of Chris Bay. You won't hear one bad thing from anyone about the guy, and, you know, my few interactions with him on social media and stuff have always been super, super positive, and I think it's really cool that there's people like Matt Cardona who, you know, they manufacture his major Bendy, his action figure, and they're giving 100% of all the proceeds of people who buy that thing. It's all going right to Chris Bay and his family, so they're not going to take any profit at all from, you know, their own product that they're making, you know, with him. So I think that's a really cool move. I know a lot of people have been donating. I saw guys like Edge donated a ton of money. You know, Chris Jericho's always donating to people. I saw Cody Rhodes donated. I don't want to like leave people out, obviously, but I saw like the wrestling world, people, big names from all the companies were, you know, pitching in and trying to help out Chris Bay with his medical bills and, you know, help him out with his family, you know, during, you know, this time he's going to be recovering from this injury. And it's a very scary thing, neck injuries, head injuries. I mean, all injuries obviously are scary, but especially the ones that could potentially affect you, you know, long term for more than just wrestling, you know, stuff that has to do with your neck and stuff. Just not, it's not to be taken lightly. So wrestling is a very dangerous business, and it's something that, you know, we're reminded of it when stuff like this happens, you know. And so obviously want nothing but health and happiness, you know, for Chris Bay going forward, and I hope him a speedy recovery. But the one positive that he can take out of this, the silver lining you can take out of this, is it's nice to see for a community of entertainment, or whatever you want to call professional wrestling fans, that are always so divided over so many petty things. When something serious like this happens and everybody bands together and puts all the BS aside and says, hey, one of our own got really hurt for real here, and this isn't about companies, this isn't about ego, this isn't about anything other than a human being who puts his life on the line for our entertainment, went out there and got really, really seriously injured, and now they need help, because this is going to be a very expensive thing and a long road to recovery. And then the wrestling world comes together and says, screw the BS, let's help this guy. And that's nice to see. So if one positive came out of it, it was good to see the wrestling world, you know, together as one to help out Chris Bay, who's a universally loved guy in the wrestling industry. So if you hear this, Chris, or anyone out there who's affiliated with Chris hears this, I've got you in my thoughts, and I wish you a speedy recovery. I'm a longtime fan, and I will continue to be a fan, and I can't wait to see you back. So that's going to be it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on X at @FightTalk_. Please use code FightTalk at IndependentWrestling.tv. And please watch The Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Fightful Overbooked. The plan this week for the interview is Gerard Bonner and Brandon Benningfield. They are guys who I know through the commentary world. I've done a little commentary myself with both Brandon and Gerard, and they're very, very nice guys. Two of the best in the business of what they do. And the plan is for y'all to have an interview from them this Thursday on The Spotlight on Fightful Overbooked. If you want to check out last week's show, as I mentioned earlier, we had Bobby Flacco returning, who is the Action Wrestling World Champion and somebody we're seeing a lot in GCW recently. And yeah, just support us over there. The Spotlight, we talk AEW, WWE, indies, everything in between. And it's an early show that may change sometime in the near future. We'll see. We'll play it by ear, but nonetheless, appreciate the support right here and with the Weekender. And for what it's worth, I, knock on wood, I don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon. I just pulled the curtain back a little bit. I recently essentially re-upped with Fightful. At least in my opinion, that's the way that it kind of works with me. Is my 6 years is coming up with the Weekender pretty soon, and I talked to Sean, and things seem to be still good, you know? So thank you very much for the support, everybody, and here's to, you know, getting to year 7. But year 6 for the Weekender is coming up within the month, and maybe I'll do a little something special for that anniversary. But I've always appreciated y'all, and I hope you have a happy and safe rest of your weekends or your weeks, whenever you listen to this. I truly do care about the people who listen to this show and the people that support the Weekender. I really, really do. So that's going to be it for me. Till next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling and school Vikings.